The reading today is taken from John chapter 9, and that can be found on page 1079 of the Church Bibles. That's John chapter 9. Jesus has just healed a man born blind, and we're picking up the story at verse 13. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. So the Pharisees again asked him how he had received his sight. And he said to them, "He put mud on my eyes, and I washed, and I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner do such signs?" And there was a division among them. So they said again to the blind man, "What did you say about him, since he has opened your eyes?" He said, "He is a prophet." The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight, until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, "Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but how he now sees we do not know. Nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said these things because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone should confess Jesus to be Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue. Therefore his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him." So for the second time they called the man who had been blind and said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered, Whether he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" And they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." The man answered, "Why, this is an amazing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshipper of God and does his will, God listens to him. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered him, "You were born in utter sin, and would you teach us?" And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and having found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you." He said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshipped him. Jesus said, "For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard these things and said to him, "Are we also blind?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say, 'We see,' your guilt remains."
Very thank you for reading for us, and let me welcome you again. Very warm welcome. It's great to see you here this Tuesday lunchtime. Just as we start, a couple of quick notices. You'll see on the inside of your song sheet, Christianity Explored advertised. A course has just started last week, and it meets for the second time tonight, and it's not too late to join if that's something that would interest you. An introduction to Jesus Christ and an opportunity to ask any question about him. You're also given a little flyer for what's happening next week. We move on to John chapter 10, and William is back to give us five talks through that chapter. So we come back to John chapter 9 for the second week. I think it's worth just reviewing where we've been the last few weeks. John chapter 8, 2 weeks ago, we saw that as far as God is concerned and Jesus is concerned, we are naturally in the dark. We are blind. We don't know who Jesus is. We can't accept him. And that chapter ended with the question, well, how will anyone ever believe in Jesus Christ. Last week we saw the answer to that as we came to chapter 9. Jesus heals a blind man, giving a great demonstration of who he is and what he's come to do. He has come as God's rescuer to give sight, to bring people to see who he is, to do the miracle of enabling us to accept him. However, there is a flip side to what is going on that we didn't mention last week, and that's what we come to this week. Let's read verse 39, which is really Jesus' summary of what's going on. Verse 39, Jesus said, "For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind." Imagine for a moment you get lost at night, it's pitch black, you can't see anything, and then someone comes to help you, and they switch on a bright torch, which throws out light. And you think, oh, that's great, you know, this now lights my way, I can find my way home. However, they could switch on the torch so it shines in your face, in which case you throw up your hands and close your eyes, and you can actually see less now than you could before. It blinds you. That's what a light is like, isn't it? A bright light in darkness. It either lights up your way or it blinds you. And Jesus is saying, verse 39, he as the light of the world has both effects. He brings people to see, but he also blinds people. What that means in practice is that looking at and listening to Jesus Christ can never be a neutral exercise. We are either helped to see, or we are blinded. In fact, that's what's going to happen in the next 20 minutes. We will all leave here either seeing more clearly, or being more in the dark than ever. Now, given that, let's turn to what Jesus says and try and understand what he says so that we can see rather than get blinded. Let's start by looking at who becomes blinded. There's an outline you'll see on the other side of your service sheet. Who becomes blind? Verse 39 again. Jesus says, "For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind." Jesus is saying it is people who can see that become blind. However, that's rather odd, because chapter 8, as we've just said, made it very clear, none of us see. We're all naturally blind. So who does Jesus mean by those who see? Well, he explains it more in verse 41. Let me read from verse 40. Some of the Pharisees near him heard these things and said to him, "Are we also blind?" Meaning, we're not, we can see. Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say, 'We see,' your guilt remains." Now, guilt remaining is rather like being blind. It means being cut off from God. So can you see the parallel with verse 39? Jesus says, verse 39, "Those who see may become blind." Then he says, verse 41, "Those who say, 'We see,' are blind." That is who Jesus is talking about. Those who say or think they can see. People who think that spiritually they've got sort of 20/20 vision and they understand and know all about God. When you come to the rest of the chapter, we discover that really sums up the Pharisees. They think they can see. Verse 13, the blind man is brought to the Pharisees. He tells them Jesus made mud and opened his eyes. So verse 15, let's read from there. Verse 15, they asked him how it happened. He said, "He put mud on my eyes and I washed and I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." In the Old Testament, God said, "Don't work on the Sabbath." The Pharisees see making mud and healing as work. Jesus hasn't kept the Sabbath. He's not from God. Do you see how they feel they know what is what with God? They can see who Jesus is. Some aren't so sure, because he has done a great miracle, so they then examine that, and they get the blind man's parents to confirm he was born blind. Verse 20, his parents say, "We know this is our son, and he was born blind, but how he now sees we do not know, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him, he's of age, he'll speak for himself." His parents said these things because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone should confess Jesus to be Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue. Now, Christ means the one God promised to come and rescue us. So the Pharisees have decided. They know. They can see Jesus isn't the Christ. They know. You get the same in verse 24. They call the blind man back. They say, give glory to God. We know this man is a sinner. And then finally, verse 28. You are his disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses. But as for this man, we do not know where he comes from. We know. We know God spoke to Moses. We know God said, through Moses, keep the Sabbath. We know he's broken the Sabbath. We know this man is not from God. Imagine the Lord Mayor coming to visit the city. Say he's coming to celebrate the opening of the 1,000th coffee shop or something like that. He must be getting close. Now the police constable is told, stand here, don't let any cars onto Bishopsgate. You've got to keep this road clear. The Lord Mayor is coming. So he stands there and every car that comes, no, you can't come this way, turn around. And then a big Daimler appears, perhaps coming up Threadneedle Street from Mansion House. Big Daimler, flags on the side, police outriders. And our policeman stands in the road and says, no. And the driver gets out sort of leans out the window and says, but this is the Lord. No. No cars. I know my orders. But he says, no. I know my job. No cars. And that's that. Well, I don't suppose he'd stay in his job for very long, but that is what's sort of going on here, really. But we haven't got time to go into this in great detail, but the Sabbath in the Old Testament was, if you like, it was pointing ahead to something coming. Jesus said, one day my rescuer will come, and he will bring about a perfect rest, a perfect state of affairs. And the Sabbath day was a kind of picture of that, pointing ahead to what would come. And then Jesus arrives and he does this miracle of healing a blind man, showing he is God's rescuer, come to bring about that perfect state of affairs. And he does the miracle on the most suitable of days, the Sabbath, because he's come to fulfill the Sabbath and all it pointed forward to. But the Pharisees are so sure of what they know, they can't see it. They're so sure of their rules for the Sabbath, they're blind to this purpose. Just like our policeman's meant to keep the road ready for the Lord Mayor, he's blinded by what he knows and misses him coming. That's the Pharisees, blinded by what they think they know, what they think they know about God. We see it all around us, don't we? I remember talking to somebody about Jesus a while ago. He interrupted me after not very long and said, look, if God is so loving and so powerful, then why did he let the Holocaust happen? Answer me that. And he said it with confidence and he said it with assurance. He thought he knew. He could see what was what when it came to God. You hear it all the time, don't you? Jesus might say he's the only way to God, but surely all religions have got their place. Jesus might say hell is real, but I know God would never punish anybody. He's too loving. Jesus might say this action or behaviour is wrong, but I know God doesn't really mind. I know. I can see. I've got God sorted. I wonder if we see that attitude in ourselves. Did we come here today thinking, I know what's what with God? If we did, we're in danger, Jesus says. Because people like that become blind. Let's go on to how that happens. How do you become blind? Number two. Verse 39 again. It's really the theme verse, 39. For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind. Blind. Jesus is saying that the way you become blind is his coming into the world. He comes as the light of the world, but those who think they can see reject him as the light and become blind. You can imagine me walking across Commercial Union Square on my way here this morning. I'm happily, distantly, mind miles away walking along, someone runs up to me and says, "It's okay, I'm here, and I've got a torch." I look at him very cautiously. He says, "No, I've got a torch for you here, switch it on, you can find your way to St. Helens now." I look around at the sun shining, and I probably think, "You're mad." In fact, I might even say to him, "You're mad." And I push past him, and I carry on. If you can see, you say no to a light, don't you? And that is what the Pharisees are doing here. They can see, they think they can see, so they say no to the light. That's the basic point here. That's how you become blind, as you reject Jesus Christ, the light. But we've got to ask more exactly, what does it mean to become blind? As we said already, actually, we are all naturally blind. So what does Jesus mean when he says blind people become blind? Well, by becoming blind, Jesus means confirming and even deepening our blindness. Confirming and deepening our rejection of God and our alienation from God. I say that's what Jesus says because that's what we see here in this chapter from the Pharisees again. Let's go through the... Last week, you may remember if you were here, we saw the progress the blind man made through the chapter. Watch the progress or the reverse of that with the Pharisees. Verse 16, they say he's not from God, he doesn't keep the Sabbath. So the question now for them is, how does a man who isn't from God heal a blind man? They try and sort that out in the rest of the chapter. The first possibility is the man was never blind. That gets closed down when they get the parents in. We've seen that, and the parents confirm he was definitely born blind. So they get the blind man in again and say, verse 24, give glory to God, we know this man is a sinner. They're basically saying, we know he's not from God, so now tell us what really happened. They're trying to find an alternative explanation. So the blind man then says, verse 25, well, I know that I was blind and now I see. The miracle happened. Look at their response, verse 26. They said to him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? Now they already know the answer to that. He's already told them the events. But you see, as they get presented with the miracle, they can't accept it. They won't accept it. So they just keep asking for another explanation. The blind man himself actually sees how they're avoiding the obvious. So he says to them, verse 27, I've told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? And then he gets cheeky. Do you also want to become his disciples? They respond, verse 27, we're disciples of Moses. Verse 28, we're disciples of Moses. And then the blind man really lays out the argument. We looked at it last week. Verse 32 sums it up. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone has opened the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. As we saw last week, this miracle is a clear sign Jesus is from God, God's rescuer. But how did the Pharisees respond then? Verse 34, you were born in utter sin, and would you teach us? And they cast him out. They can't prove the miracle hasn't happened. They can't find another explanation. They can't argue against his logic. So in the end, they just boot him out. What do you learn about the Pharisees as you go through that? Well, for a start, it's obvious they're blind, isn't it? As they are presented with Jesus more and more clearly, their blindness to him becomes kind of more and more obvious. But more than that, their blindness actually deepens. I mean, certainly they're blind at the start of the conversation, but you get a sense they're more blind by the end of the conversation, because as the evidence for Jesus is laid out, as they're shown who he is, and the arguments stack up, they carry on saying no to him, but they carry on saying no at a deeper and deeper level. If you like, as the light shines more and more brightly, they have to close their eyes tighter and tighter. Some of you know that I've got an identical twin brother. It does lead to a few interesting situations, a few misunderstandings. It has led to a few jokes as well, I must admit. in the past. But when my brother and I both lived in Cambridge, I was in Sainsbury's once doing some shopping, and a complete stranger gave me a rather warm smile, which made me try to avoid their eyes. They then said hello, and I said hi, cautiously, and tried to keep going, but I couldn't quite get past them in time, and I had to kind of confront the situation. So I said, you must think I'm Graham. Actually, I'm his twin brother. He said, no. You're having me on. I said, no, I assure you. I found myself having to prove who I was, actually. And after a while, after a couple of goes, I'm glad he accepted, actually, and then left embarrassed. Imagine, though, if he didn't change his mind. Imagine if he insisted, no, I'm sure you're Graham. I call my wife over, who I'm shopping with. She says, this is Nigel. He says, you're just in on the gag, aren't you? I get out my driving license, see, Nigel Bynum. Get out my credit card, Nigel Bynum. At this point, to carry on insisting I am Graham, well, it would just be crazy, wouldn't it? It'd be mad. It would be sort of the height of sort of stubbornness. But that is exactly what the Pharisees do. The evidence of the miracle is laid out for them. It becomes increasingly clear and strong who Jesus is. But they keep insisting, no, I know better. And they keep saying no to Jesus. And they do so more and more stubbornly and more deeply. It's like with a muscle. The more you use it, the heavier the weight you lift with your muscle, the stronger it gets. And here the Pharisees say no to Jesus, no to Jesus, against more and more evidence, and their no gets stronger and stronger. They get more and more blind. And so that in the end, faced with the evidence, all they can do, well, rational argument goes, doesn't it? They just throw him out. Looking at Jesus and rejecting him confirms your blindness, and it even deepens it. It's the same today, isn't it? I think we could imagine this conversation happening this afternoon, couldn't we? You could try it if you like. Go back to your office and try saying to someone, I heard a talk at lunchtime on how Jesus healed a blind man. How would the conversation go? Well, comes the reply, you don't really believe that, do you? Oh, well, lots of people saw it. Yeah, but they didn't understand science. He probably had cataracts or something, and Jesus just knew what to do. Oh no, you say. Actually, this man was born blind. Well, if Jesus is so powerful, why doesn't he heal all the blind people? Well, Jesus said it was a particular sign for us to show us he is God's rescuer, come to rescue us and put us right with God. I don't need rescuing. I'm fine as I am. Now, Jesus says you do, and this miracle proves he can do it. Look, I've got work to do. Push off, will you? You can imagine it, can't you? Jesus, the light of the world. But light has two effects. It can bring people to see, or it can blind you. Now, if we're Christians, it's important we understand this. Last week we said, this shows us how he has opened our eyes, if we can see who he is, and we ought to be eternally grateful for that, and we could repeat that again now. But another reason this is so important is it shows us we shouldn't be surprised when people reject Jesus. It's hard when people reject Jesus. It can be intimidating when people reject Jesus. It can put us off and throw us, especially when people who seem to know a lot and have God sorted, reject Jesus. It can make us think, have I got it wrong? Is Jesus less convincing than I thought? We need to remember the problem is not with Jesus. The problem is that we are blind. And we shouldn't be surprised or thrown. It happened to Jesus. It will happen to us. Maybe though you're someone here who isn't a Christian and you wonder what the way forward for you is. Well, verse 41, I think, shows us. Jesus says to the Pharisees, if you were blind, you would have no guilt, but now that you say, we see, your guilt remains. We've seen the problem is their claim to know, to be able to see. The way forward is to admit you can't see. To admit you're blind. To ask for help. To ask Jesus to enable you to see and take away your guilt and bring you to know God. It takes humility to do that, to admit that, to ask for help. But I wonder if some of us might be ready to do that here today. As we said at the start, looking at Jesus and listening to Jesus, it can never be a neutral activity. You are either brought to see or you become blind. Let's pray for how we react to him. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus, the light of the world, and we pray in your mercy, rather than closing our eyes to him and being blinded by him, we might humbly admit our need, and we might be brought to see, and in him come to know you and be freed by you and live with you. And we ask it for your glory's sake. Amen.